for you. And that is our prayer today, that we, that Lord, that you would be lifted high, that you would be exalted, that God, that you would be, that God, that you would be honored in our lives, from our lips, from our hearts, the way we live our lives, Lord, the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we think, that you'd be lifted up. And we come before you today. We do thank you that Calvary does cover it all, that the body that was broken and the blood that was spilt covered it all. We thank you for Calvary. We thank you today that there's an empty cross and an empty grave and a full heart for your glory, because you live in us today. Father, I want to thank you, Father, that it was from the cross to the grave, to the grave to our lives, Lord, you came, and we praise you for that. And Lord, as we begin this Christmas season, as we move from Thanksgiving into Christmas, we come to this Lord's table this morning to be reminded of the very reason why the babe came and was laid in a manger. The very reason why Jesus Christ, fully man and fully God, came. And we ask, Lord, in your name, that as we begin this Christmas season, as we move through the next several weeks, that we would remember your death, your resurrection, and what it means for our lives. How you dealt with our sin, how you dealt with our shame, how you dealt, Father, with the strongholds of our lives, how you pulled us out of the pit and you put us on the rock, and you put new songs in our mouths, songs of praise, Lord, for you. Father, we thank you for the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we come, Lord, as we open Scripture this morning, that you would show yourself mighty, strong through your word, that you would teach us, that we would be reminded of this great sacrifice that you made when you came from heaven to die in our place. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Behold the Lamb of God who lives within us, who walks amongst us. We ask that you would be glorified, you would be honored, you would be lifted up. In Jesus' name and for his sake and his glory, amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to just let you get there for a moment, and then we're going to read it read this text. It's a familiar text to us as we do Lord's Supper. One of the things that's been asked around here is, you know, we don't do Lord's Supper often enough. And I sometimes think we don't, but I'm a firm believer in this, that the Lord's Supper is not to be tacked on at the end of the service. That it is a covenant meal. And so whenever we come to the Lord's table, we're going to look at the full meal. We're going to look at every aspect of it and what it means. Because the Bible says that as long as you remember him by taking this, you are proclaiming the Lord's death. You are proclaiming, you and I are proclaiming Christ crucified, and what that simply means in our lives. And this was a covenant meal that Jesus had. It was, and we're going to see in just a moment, on that Passover evening. And it was a covenant meal set for you and I to remember him by. And as often as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we are to remember him proclaiming his death. So that when you come to the table today and you take that bread and you eat it, you're saying that this body that was broken for me. And it has certain results. It reaps something in my life as it's been sown into my life. And this lifestyle that I live is a proclamation of Christ crucified. And when I drink of the cup, I'm saying, this is what the blood did for me. And this is how it looks in our lives. And this is how it changes our lives as Jesus came to deal with sin. And so when we look at this passage of Scripture, this letter to the Corinthians, which actually the Corinth church was a mess, okay? It was just an absolute mess. And Paul is addressing certain problems that this church has. And one of them is that they're coming to the table in an unworthy manner. They're coming drunk. They're actually bullying themselves in and eating the Lord's Supper. It's a bigger meal back then. They called it a love feast. And they weren't acting Christian. They weren't living Christ. They weren't living the crucified life. And so he's correcting them. And he's challenging them to come to the table in a worthy manner. Look at verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus in the night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever is eating the bread or drinking the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, then he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we will not be judged. But when we're judged, we're disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. Now, as we prepare for this morning, I want us to remind us of the last few weeks together. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I don't know if you remember from last week, but we talked about that very specific word in. And it has to do with it points to time and it points to a place. And so all things, whatever is happening, always in every place, every time, no matter what, we're to be thanking our great God. When it's hard, when it's bad, and even when it's uncertain, we're to give thanks. And what we talked about last week, and we shared from Scripture just a number of things, that when you begin to do this, and when you thank God in everything, in whatever the time is, whatever the place is, whatever the circumstance and the state is, we begin to see God work in marvelous ways, miraculous ways. We see God do supernatural things. And here's the suggestion. In the night that he was betrayed, in the night of loneliness, in the night of separation, in the night of hardship, in the night of sweating great drops of blood, Scripture says. In a night of abandonment, in a night where he knows he's about to take on your sin and my sin and the sin of the world. In the night that he was betrayed, he gave thanks. He gave thanks for the broken body. He gave thanks for the spilt blood. He thanked God for one of the worst days in history. The worst day in eternity for him. When he would hang on a cross and say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He gave thanks. He thanked God for what was about to happen and the result of what was about to happen. He gave thanks. Shared this last week. I'll share it again if you missed it. That wonderful verse of Scripture from the Psalms that we quote. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Have you ever prayed that? Have you ever quoted that? Have you ever said that? Well, if you look to the context of that scripture, it's when the builders rejected the cornerstone. When in my mind, what I think, what I believe, that scripture is talking about the day he gave his life and was rejected. And then he would say, this is the day God has made. And if God has made that day, if he has made that day to rejoice in, imagine what all the rest of the day should be like. Imagine what Sunday's supposed to be, Resurrection Day, living the resurrected life. If we can thank God in the hard, in the difficult, in the nasty, in the hard, in all of those things, can we not thank Him today? Can we not thank Him today? I'm not saying it's easy. It's hard. It's hard when difficult times come. It is hard. But somehow I want to move to that place like Jesus, who would thank God for brokenness and thank God for spilled blood. Knowing that it is in brokenness where every one of us in this place, when we found brokenness, is where God truly began to heal us and restore us. Isn't that right? We had to get broken over our sinfulness, broken over the trespasses, broken what we've done to people, broken to what we've said, to what we've spoken, to what we've done, broken in our need. And in that brokenness, we find Him. Or maybe better yet, He finds us. He finds us. He found you in your brokenness. This is the challenge for us today. And when we point to the meal, when we point to the Lord's Supper, we're pointing to a man, the God-man Jesus, who in this moment is breaking bread and saying, "This is my body. It is broken for you. This is the cup. This is the blood that is broken for you." Now let me tell you a little bit about the night that He's betrayed. Look on the screen at Luke 22, verse 15. Notice what He says. He said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Passover. I am earnestly desiring, I want to share this Passover meal with you. I've been looking forward to it. Why? Because they've been doing this for 1,500 years. Passover for 1,500 years. They've been celebrating it year after year after year after year after year after year. Passover, do you remember that? The children of Israel enslaved for over 400 years. God has raised up Moses to deliver them out. The Bible says God has heard their cries in Exodus. And so God is instituting a Passover meal. Very symbolic. It becomes the yearly feast. It's called the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And they were instructed to celebrate it as a memorial. And it's a memorial when the angel of death passed over Egypt. You remember Moses is in the midst of calling down 10 plagues, demonstrating God's power to Pharaoh. And each time Pharaoh is saying, after that, yeah, you can let him go, but then he changes his mind, and then another plague comes, and another plague comes. And it annihilates the land. And finally, the 10th plague is in place. It's the plague of death that hits the firstborn of every family and every beast. Firstborn. Judgment's coming. It's coming to Egypt. And He says, listen, the only way to be delivered from judgment, the only way to remember, and God has set it up this way, the only way to be delivered from judgment, there's a death that's required. And that death can be an innocent substitute. In this case, it's a sacrificial lamb whose blood is smeared, painted on the doorposts of every Hebrew home. The blood of the lamb spilt on the doorpost, symbolic of the opening of the entrance of a home. And the angel of death comes, an angel of death comes through Egypt, striking the firstborn of every family, the firstborn of every cow or every animal, passes over the bloodstained doors. Passes over the bloodstained doors. And they've eaten this meal, they've eaten it in readiness, they're ready to go because the next day, they're heading to the promised land. They're heading out of Egypt after 400 years of slavery. Point, however, is that judgment is avoided. Death is avoided to those households because of the blood of a spilt lamb. And so from that point on, in the wilderness, when they set up tabernacles, as they move into the promised land, as the kings are raised up, as prophets are raised up, year after year, for 1,500 years, they celebrate this Passover meal. And let me tell you this, all along, pointing as Scripture does, pointing as Old Testament does, to the body and the blood of Jesus. That's what it's all about 1,500 years before, 700 years before, the year before, and on the night of this Passover meal. It's all pointing to Jesus. What's so great about the Old Testament? It just points to Jesus. It points to who He is and what He comes to do. What's interesting is when John the Baptist comes along and he's preaching for those few months, Jesus passes by and says, "Ha, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." You know what He says to His disciples? He's here. And I didn't know it until I saw Him being baptized in the Spirit of God. That's my cousin, my kin. And I didn't even know it until I saw the Spirit coming down, because the Spirit said, whoever you baptize and the Spirit comes down upon him, that's the one. He's the one, He says, who existed before I existed. Wow. I thought you were 6 months older. No, this is the precarnate. This is God in the flesh. This is Him. This is the Passover lamb that we've been waiting for. We've been sacrificing lambs for 1,500 years. It's a bloody mess, and all it does is reminds us of our sin. And it never takes away sin. It never deals with our sin. Just a reminder. But here comes the Lamb of God who comes to take away your sins. This is what we proclaim. That this is the Passover Lamb, Jesus, who gives His body for you. And His blood for you and me. Gives His body, gives His blood. Last time we had Lord's Supper, Claude King was here. And he talked about the ceremony of being God's man, being God's woman. And when I think about the blood and I think about the bread, should that not call us to the front this morning to say, God, I'm your man forever. I will serve you forever. I'm your woman. I will serve you forever. I'm your man. I'm your woman. I'm your boy. I'm your girl. We're your family, God. We want to serve you the rest of our life. We want to put our hands in your hands and say, forever, Lord, we'll serve you. Forever, you'll be first. Forever, you'll be most. Forever, for what you've done. As the substitute Lamb of God. The night that He was betrayed, He gave thanks. In this horrible night where beating is coming, suffering is coming, and Jesus is saying, listen, I'm looking forward to this. You know why I'm looking forward to it? Because in a few hours, the temple veil is going to be torn in two, and I become the high priest, and you get to go in the Holy of Holies. Whenever you want. And you can stay there. You can stay there. I'm earnestly looking forward to this because it's the last one. It's the last one that fulfills everything. And as we walk through history, it'll fulfill. It'll keep on being fulfilled in every one of our lives. Passover Lamb. Passover Lamb. The body and the blood of Jesus. In the night that He was betrayed, He gave thanks for this bread. He said, this is my body. I'm telling you, this is my body. When you eat this, you're saying, this is the body of Christ. And what's so great about the body of Christ is a couple of things. First of all, this body bore your sins. Think about a sin you've committed. Think about something this morning that maybe you were critical of. Maybe you were grumbling about. I don't know. Maybe something happened on the way over. That happens a lot. He bore that sin. He took that sin on the cross. He bore that season of failure. He bore it on the cross. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 2. And let's look at the passage here. Great, wonderful passage. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. Now watch verse 22. Very important. We're to follow in his steps, when the very suffering steps that Christ went through. This is what he says of Jesus. He committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but he kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. Watch. So that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by every one of his wounds you were healed. Listen, you were continually straying like sheep, but now you've returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. You were straying, you were living after sin, you were living after righteousness, but you returned to him. Because you came to understand this body bore that failure. Bore the guilt of that sin. Bore the season that you were in that sin. He bore it and he took it away. And when you take of this bread, if you'll take it by faith, believing that this is what the body of Christ has done, you can walk away from this place with no more shame and no more guilt and no more false guilt of all those things in the past. Because that's, he bore it. He bore your sin when he died in your place. I would say this, there's some of us in here that the enemy just keeps reminding us and reminding us and reminding us of past failures and sin. And today you get to wave it in front of his face. The body of Jesus that bore my sin. Can I get an amen out of that one? Amen. He bore it. Do you know what else this body did? The second thing that it did? There's two or three things. We're just going to do two today. And I love this one because I love to bring it out. But not only did he bear your sins, but he bore your sorrows. He bore your grief. Whatever's given you grief in this world, even if it's of your own doing, because of the very sin. Every one of us knows that when we walk in sin, it's grief. There's absolutely no freedom in that. There's absolutely no joy in that. It just produces grief. And so not only did he take away the sin, he also took away its grief. Amen. Hey, are y'all with me tonight? Okay. Amen. Amen. He took the grief. He took the sorrow. That's why I can say thank you in the midst of something bad. Because he takes away grief, and he takes away sorrow, and he takes away sin. He's the sacrificial lamb that did that just for you. And when you take this bread today, you say, I believe that the body of Christ took away my sin, the sin that the enemy keeps pushing up, keeps bringing up to me, and he's also taken away my grief. So let me just say what this can mean for you today. By faith, that whatever you're grieving about and whatever you got sorrow over, whatever failure you're still just beating yourself up over, you can go to this place absolutely, totally free. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. In the night that he was betrayed, in that awful night of loneliness, of hardship, where he's about to suffer, denial, the sheep scattering, this aloneness in his heart, in the night that he was betrayed, he gave thanks for bread And he gave thanks for the cup. He gave thanks for the cup by saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. And when you drink it today, drink it in remembrance of me. Remember what the blood does. The body bore the sin, took it away, and the blood does some wonderful things. There's several of them. I'm going to just talk to you just about four real briefly. The first thing he did that blood does, it cleanses and forgives you. His spilt blood targets your sin. Just like medicine targets the bad cells, it targets sin. And he comes to cleanse you and forgive you, to remit you from all the sins, of all the failures. Hebrews 9:14 on the screen. Therefore, the blood of Christ cleanses your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Verse 22 on the screen. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. Do you know that God wants you cleansed? And he wants you forgiven. You know, this is a great exercise that you can do today. Because 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So in just a few minutes, when we start, when you get to come up with your family and partake of this supper, maybe you need to stay in your seat for a few minutes. Maybe you need to come to the altar for a few minutes. Maybe you need to come talk to somebody for a few minutes. Maybe you need to confess something so that you can come to this table in a manner worthy. To find health, to find healing, to find God in a new, fresh way. To confess your sins, to see him, to see the blood of Jesus avail for you in this moment, right now, right here, to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The second thing that blood does is the blood of the sacrificial lamb, the Passover lamb, is to provide constant access to God for fellowship and help. Hebrews 10:19 says, since therefore, brothers, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. We get to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus. The writer of Hebrews loves this thought. Matter of fact, in Hebrews 4, it says, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we might find help in time of need. Fellowship with God and help by the blood of Christ. You say, well, how does that work? How does that work? Well, first of all, when you proclaim the Lord's death, you're saying, I'm cleansed, I'm forgiven, and I have constant health. Help. I have constant fellowship with him. That's just your faith. That's what it says. And you know what? Sometimes you got to remind yourself of it. Sometimes you've got to remind yourself of it and confess that the blood of Jesus has given me full access to my God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I just, for me, the way to practically do that is I've just got to say it. Because there's power in saying the word. He's cleansed you. He's forgiven you. He's provided constant access to God for fellowship and help. The third thing that he does with this blood that was spilt for you, that Jesus thanked him for, is that you're born again and you're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Look at, just go a couple of pages back. I hope you have your Bible still open. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. Okay, that's not the right one. Sorry, I missed it. Go to verse 17. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as of the Lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. He cleanses you and forgives you through the blood. He provides constant access to God for fellowship and for help. And you've been born again. You've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. The fourth thing that blood does. The blood of Jesus brings about your ultimate triumph. It brings about your ultimate triumph. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. It's the ultimate triumph. The blood spilt for you crushed the head of the enemy. And for 1,500 years it didn't happen. And then it happened when he came. And when the Holy Spirit came into your life, into my life, and when he came into the lives of the first believers 2,000 years ago, he came in to wash us and cleanse us and to take away the sin and destroy the works of the devil and crush his head. Now listen. In the night that he was betrayed, he gave thanks. Giving thanks, this great miracle of broken body and of spilt blood provided the redemption that we just talked about. The cleansing took your sins away. That's the miracle. He thanked God, and miracles took place, and they've been taking place for 2,000 years when men and women give their heart to Jesus, and they're changed. In the night that he was betrayed, he gave thanks. He gave thanks for the broken body and the spilt blood, and he gave thanks so that we might give thanks this day as we proclaim the Lord's death, as we do it in remembrance of him and proclaim his death. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? What I love about this message is you have some very distinct opportunities to respond. Individually and as a family. The Bible says in this passage of scripture that we are to examine ourselves so that we might come to the table in a manner worthy. You say, well, none of us are worthy. In Jesus, by his body and his blood, yes, you are. Made you worthy. So why does he say come to him in a worthy manner? Well, here's what I believe it is. Listen, he's made you clean. He has absolutely, totally forgiven you. Because of the blood of Jesus, you're in right relationship with him. But let me ask you the question. Let me tell you this. When I come to the table in an unworthy manner, it's because I'm still holding on to something. I'm about to say, God, your body dealt with my sin, your blood dealt with my sin, and yet I'm coming to this altar and I'm coming to this table not living it. What's so great about God is you don't have to wait for 3 weeks to get things right. You get things right now. In a moment. Right now, right here. Right now, right here. That's what the blood of the Lamb did for you. Maybe you're here today, and this is the first time you've ever heard a message like this. You don't know God. You don't know Christ. You've never given your life to him. You've never put your faith in what we're talking about today. And maybe it's the time for you to come. What I want to ask you to do here in just a moment, as I pray, when we pray, I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to ask Lord's Supper ushers to come forward. Okay? Yeah. Okay. All right. I need a couple of women. Jeanette, would you come forward? Johnny Ann, would you come up? Johnny Ann. These folks are coming up to be available for you right now, right here, to pray for you. Now look, to get yourself right doesn't necessarily mean you have to come shake the pastor's hand. You can do it right where you're at, God knows. Because by the blood of Jesus, you have access to the Holy of Holies right now. But sometimes you need a little help. It's called body life. Some of you may need to come and just kneel at the altar. Maybe you need to take a hand. Have somebody pray for you. I don't know. But I guess what I would ask you to do is to come to this table in a manner that is sober, a manner that is reverent, holy. To come to this table and take that bread and eat it and say, this is what the body did for me, it and my family today. We are in Christ, and it bore my sin. It took it away, and then it took our grief away and all the junk we've been dealing with and all the stuff we've been dealing with. God has dealt with it, and we want to be, by faith, take it today. And this blood, it cleansed us from this sin. It made us right. It redeemed us. It caused us to be born again. It gave us access. Because of it, it's this ultimate triumph in Him. Celebrate this today. Yeah, soberly celebrate it. He did it for you. I'm going to pray. And then some of you, you know what? You're just ready to come take it. You come on up, you take it. And if you're new to us, all you're asked to do is come on up with your family or a friend or just even by yourself and take the bread, take the cup, and partake together as a family or an individual. Some of us like to kind of get to the side and have a prayer, and we take it together as a family or as a group. There's no right way. There's no wrong way. But then when I say amen, it'll be time for you to respond to this table. God, I pray that you'd prepare our hearts for Christmas. That God, that we've come through a season of thanksgiving, and we confess, we say that thanksgiving precedes the miracle. And when you thanked your Father for this broken bread and this spilt blood, you had every one of us in mind in this place today. And so I pray that men and women, sons and daughters, would come to this table today. I pray for those that need to sit for a moment. I pray, God, that you would bless that moment. They come right, confessing and believing, trusting in what Jesus did for them 2,000 years ago. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we get to begin Christmas with thanksgiving and this Thanksgiving meal, the Eucharisteo, the thanksgiving. And I pray, Father, that miracles will follow. Lord, you said that a number in the church, they're sick and they're ill and they hurt and they struggle and they sleep because they've come to the table in an unworthy manner. And that's why you give us instruction. And I say, come to the table in a worthy manner as we make things right with you. Holy Spirit, living God, fall fresh upon this, I pray. Come, move, we pray. Move as we move to these tables. If there's someone here that's sick, I pray they be healed today. Pray they be healed. Thank you for your wounds today. If there's someone sick in mind or body or soul or spirit, I pray the day would be their healing. Visit us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you need to stay. Some of you need to come right on and take. Some of you may need to take a hand and have prayer. Some of you may need to come up here and kneel and then take. However God leads you, you make that move. You make that right now. Thank you.
Amen. Yes. We're going to have our offering now and another opportunity to give back.